And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live, broadcasting live from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. It is your Sunday evening moment of inspiration and information with your host, Mark Mead. Good evening, sir.
Hello, Jim.
How are you, my man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, we've got another week.
We've got another week.
So what'd you do all week?
This was a rather busy week.
Busy.
Been having to take care of some business with my mother, who's had some medical issues. And So we had some family things to take care of this week. So that's taken a good bit of time and energies. And I got a couple of days of vacation time I'm going to take this week.
So. Then you did everything else that you normally do, right?
Right. Yeah, on top of that, you know. Vacation is a loose term, you know. We talk about guys in radio when we say, oh, we doze, but we never close, you know.
Yeah.
Radio is a 24-hour day thing, and so especially if you take care of the toys and keep them running, you know, you're always on call. But the children have behaved quite well this week, so I've had minimal amount of problems with things. And
sure.
So I expect that next week, this week, since we've already started the week, expect this week is going to hold that pattern for a while.
Yeah.
I've already replaced a couple of air conditioner units at tower sites, so we're ready for the summertime. So.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be a smooth week. So.
Good. I'm glad you're optimistic.
You know, you can't change the things that happen to you, but you can control how you accept them or reject them. So
yeah.
I choose to always look for the good, and I tend to find it more than those people that are looking for the bad, because they find it a whole lot more often. So,
you know, I think we just watched a video a few moments ago on Healing University that
I caught
went
the tail end of that, yeah.
With that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I tell you what, nobody likes to be around a gripe.
You know, there's some people that I give them the Eeyore syndrome. Well, I guess it's not going to be good. You know, that old character, the cartoon character Eeyore, because they just never have a good outlook, you know.
Yeah.
And it seems to amaze them that bad things always happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they talk about when you talk to them. Well, I guess my car's going to break down this week. It's been 2 weeks since it failed again, so I guess it's going to happen this week. And their car breaks down this week. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't figure that one out. No,
and I can't tell you the last time my car broke down. Because
yeah.
I expect when I get it and crank it every morning, bless God, it's going to be fine. You know, that's my tool. I got to get to work. And I'm
there
expecting that truck's going to crank every morning. So.
There you go.
I think you get out of life what you put into it. So.
Well, we were just talking about July the 4th in Wheeler a few months ago.
Huh? Yeah.
They're kind of playing a little shindig.
You know, they're ramping things up. It's going to be different. I was at the chamber meeting this last week of when they were discussing all of the events, and obviously our radio stations are going to play a role in that, so we were invited to be a part of the discussion. But it's going to be different from things that we've done before, but they're still determined that we're going to offer something to the community for time for families to get together and to enjoy the festivities, also to celebrate, you know, what 4th of July stands for and the love of our country. And I'm pretty impressed with some of their plans. I think there's a lot of work going to take place.
Yeah.
those folks come up with a lot of stuff going on. But I had to remind someone who I was talking to this week that actually it's a friend of mine who's flying in from California, and he's going to be here over the weekend. And I said, Tim, I'm not going to be able to see you that weekend. I said, I'll see you on Monday or Tuesday after that. He said, because Shamrock has one weekend a year that they celebrate, and that's St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
And Wheeler has one weekend a year they celebrate, and that's 4th of July.
Yeah.
And so we just go all out, and Wheeler goes all out. And I know the chamber would join me in inviting everyone in our listening area that if your town's not doing something, Wheeler's doing something.
Yeah.
We're going to have activities Friday afternoon and evening, have a fireworks show on Friday evening, as well as the big fireworks show on Saturday evening.
Yeah, going to have a contest.
Going to have a contest on Friday, two fireworks shows simultaneously.
Yeah.
And then got a concert and a dance on the Courthouse Square Friday night. Mm-hmm. All the activities on Saturday, taking place on the courthouse square. Businesses are going to be open, so you can see what's going on in this town. And so I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah. It's gonna, I think we're going to have a good crowd.
Yeah.
That was the discussion at the chamber meeting, mm-hmm. is that because some of our area communities, and, you know, the larger cities, I understand, it's a much more complicated thing mm-hmm. for a larger town to be able to put on some event like this and stay within the guidelines of where we are in this pandemic situation, mm-hmm. than we in a smaller town can accomplish that. And so we really do expect there's going to be a good crowd from out of town come in and see the fun things that Wheeler does. I'm pretty excited for them. So.
You know, if you're concerned about the dance, well, there's a way to solve that.
Yeah.
Dance with your wife or your sister.
Yeah, or somebody that you go home with.
Or just touch elbows.
Touch elbows, that's what it is. Yeah. I'd like to see that two-step with an elbow touch.
Yeah, that
would
might
be cool.
Be a challenge.
That'd be fun. You know, yeah. I imagine somebody's already thought of that. You know? Yeah. It's better than putting a pool noodle on your head. Like
yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of things going on, and we're going to try to accommodate everyone's concerns. They're going to have hand-washing stations and sanitizing stations and so forth set up everywhere for those people who feel susceptible mm-hmm. to that. If you want to come out and mill in the crowd and wear a mask, that's perfectly fine. We're going to respect that. And
if you want to drag Maine, you just stay in your own car.
And that's true. Maine. The Friday night drag is going to take place, and it's hopefully going to be done in safe social distancing manner.
Yeah.
So come in your own car. Don't be getting in the car with somebody else.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, the Cornerstone Church is hosting that, and the pastor, Aaron Mercer, has experimented with that once this year. We did the Bring Back the Drag event after graduation. And, Mark, I've known Pastor Aaron for nearly 15 years, and I have never seen him turn from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde like he did when I handed him a microphone and he started DJing the drag.
Yeah.
It was a show in and of itself. Yeah. To watch him. And he's got several guest DJs lined up as well.
Cool. So
we'll be broadcasting on the low power frequency here in town for everybody to drag Maine and listen to the fun. And so it's going to be a lot of fun that weekend. That's less than 2 weeks away.
Hey, you know, that's something that we all used to do, but we've kind of lost that.
We're dating ourselves, but
we kind of lost it.
Yeah. And
young people today.
They don't know what it is.
They don't know what they were.
Well, young people today are not car kids, you know.
No.
I mean, we all, when we were in school in those younger days back in the 60s and 70s, you know, having a car was the thing.
Yeah.
You know, probably half of the kids I went to school with didn't have a car. And we certainly, most of them didn't drive at school.
Do you know, gas didn't cost over $3 a gallon, and that's kind of the way that, I think that might have been kind of when it all got squashed.
That probably did, yeah. That probably did. But, you know, we were proud of our cars, and we were big time on having stereos and rolling the windows down and dragging Maine and cranking the music up and waving at all the girls. And,
yeah. And just wanting them to wave back.
Uh-huh. That was the idea, man. And who cares if it took you 20 minutes to make that 2 mile drag, you know,
because
that's what it was all about, was being out.
Yeah. Well, it's going to happen in Wheeler.
It's going to happen again in Wheeler. That'll be Friday night the 3rd. Mm-hmm. So if you have, if you've got a classic car in the area, you want to come show it off, that'll be a good chance too.
Yeah.
And we imagine there'll be some of those doing that.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to be us 50s, 60s, 70s guys, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll still have those cool cars to come drag Maine.
So. I think we had a few of those at the...
We had a couple at the graduation, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some local guys were out and had some hot rod cars. And,
cool.
And they got doing some hot rodding, too, you know.
Yeah, there's still some black marks up there in the street.
Mm-hmm. We do have the luxury of living in a small town and having the cooperation of our local law enforcement agencies who were sitting on the square watching all the thing going on to make sure they didn't tear up anything.
And, Jim, when I was at that age when we were doing that, I told somebody the other day, if you got to doing something really crazy, the law would go and
Tell your daddy
if you lived in Wheeler.
Yeah, yeah.
If you lived in Briscoe or Allison or Mobeety, they'd throw you in jail. And then We didn't have the same luxury. The same,
yeah. There was not necessarily equal application of the law.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's who you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all fun and games.
It is. You know, and, you know, the world's kind of crazy and upside down in a lot of ways. Hmm. We need to take a break and laugh and have fun a little bit.
Yeah.
Remember that we don't get out of this life alive. We might as well do some enjoying it, you know.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say the other day, yeah, my life is an open book, but it's very poorly written, and I die in the end.
Well, you know, you said something that kind of made me think of, I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about love. We talked about love last
week.
You said love America. Well, you know, that's sort of like saying love God.
Yeah.
It's pretty abstract.
Yeah, real abstract. Can't wrap your brain around what that really means.
So we're gonna see something tonight about loving God. And really, the way you love God is love the people.
Right.
And so when
God
we talk
said, if
about,
you love me, you'll follow my commandments.
Yeah. And so when we talk about loving America, that means we love the people that are here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is an expression of that. It's an opportunity for you to get together and share a love with each other that you have for your country.
You know, I can go to that event, and I came to Wheeler in 1989, and I lived here for 10 years and left for 15 and came back again. And so I've been back here five years or so, and I still probably don't know 85% of the people I meet on the street.
Yeah.
And I can go to an event like that at the park or at the courthouse square when we celebrate for 4th of July, and I probably don't know most of those people, but we have that in common.
Yeah.
We're there because we love this country and we love each other and we love this community.
Yeah.
And that makes it all okay. I'm not a stranger, even though I don't know their names.
Right.
I'm not a stranger because we all have that same love. You know, there's probably 450 people that go to this church. We don't catch more than a couple of hundred at any one time, but, you know, if they were all here together, there's 400 or 500 people, and I probably can't name three quarters of them.
Yeah.
But when they're here, we're celebrating the same thing, that we're part of the family of God and that we're part of this body of believers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a stranger here, even if I don't know anybody's name. I'm not a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that really goes along really a lot with what I'm going to talk about tonight. Because,
and for the record, we did not discuss this ahead of time.
We didn't. We talked about what was going on in Wheeler, but we didn't
go
down this direction.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's got to be an expression some way or another. And I'm going to point out some things tonight that, I'm going to read some scripture like I did last week, and then I'm going to kind of keep on going down the same road I did, but I'm going to bring a little bit different idea with it tonight, and end the conversation, hopefully. No, it's not
no,
the
you're
end.
Not going to, but
they're not going to be the end.
But you're going to come to a natural conclusion.
I'm going to come to a conclusion. Yes,
we're not going to run out of that.
Yeah, yeah. And so I want to start in 1 John chapter 4, and I read this scripture last week, but I read it out of the King James, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation tonight. And it says, "Those who are loved by God," verse 7. And I'm going to read several verses here. It says, "Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another." And so that's just exactly what we were talking about. I'm just like you, Jim. I don't know everybody that goes to church here at this church, Cornerstone. I do not know those people. I walk in here and I see a lot of old faces, kind of people that I went to church with 20 years ago.
There is that group, a couple of dozen.
And then there's people I see that I know from the community.
Right. There's a couple of dozen of those that I know.
And then there's all these other people that I have no clue.
Yeah. Well, we were on the square this morning.
Yeah.
And had a huge crowd this morning out for our Father's Day event. And I look around and I'm telling my wife, I don't know, have any clue who these people are.
Yeah.
Don't have any clue. And everybody was nice and we were fellowshipping, but I didn't have any idea, you know.
Well, we were at the front of the line because we had to go to another event. And so we get in the front of the line, get our hamburger, and we're coming back down the line and towards our vehicle. And we were talking to the people as we came along. And I was going, I don't know a lot of these people. I don't know who they are. But somehow or another, this love has continuously got to pour from you to one another. And because God is love, everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of Him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. Now, that just pretty well sums this up, and it talks about this love that God is. I mean, He is totally love, and He is He's something as a human being that I have a hard time relating to what His love. I can see His love, and I'm going to read this in a minute, but if you look on down in verse 10, it says, this is loved. He loved us long before we loved Him. It was His love, not ours. He proved it by sending His Son to be the pleasing sacrifice offering to take away our sins. So I see that. I see that God sent Jesus. And I know that that sacrifice was made. But it's still something that's hard for me to get a grasp of. But you know what? When I begin to love one another, when I start seeing this love that people have for each other, I begin to understand God's love.
You talked last week about how we say we should love God,
mm-hmm.
and how intangible that is. That is an abstract mm-hmm. statement. But when we take and translate that into love one for another, then we, in our finite mind, in our humanness, can start to relate to the understanding of what it is that God loves us and how to love God, because we have something physical and tangible here to relate it to by loving one another.
Right. Now, I'm going to read a scripture that's just going to be just what you said. And you didn't read this because you don't have a Passion translation.
No, I don't. We didn't discuss that either.
Okay. It says, delightfully loved ones, if He loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. But if we love one another, God makes His permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in Him, and His love is brought to its full expression in us. I mean, how can I express this love to God? I can come to church, I can praise Him, I can worship, I can be here because I love Him, I can at home, I can pray, I can worship Him, I can meditate on Him, I can do all these things. But there's still an element of I have not gazed upon His splendor. I don't know what He really looks like other than abstract, like you say, descriptions in the scripture that just remind me of His awesomeness and remind me that how far below His glory I really am. And so how do I love Him? And so He said, if you'll love each other, if you'll love one another, then this expression will be expressed in you to where you can understand his love. And so that's how it works. Jim, I said last week, I didn't write this book and I didn't design this, but God did. And this is how he says it works. And I think that if we'll follow what he says, then we will begin to experience what he says we should experience. It says, those who give thanks that Jesus is the Son of God lives in God and God lives in them. And we have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. One thing I've noticed all through the scriptures is that we respond to God in his grace with our faith. We believe him. We trust him. And here it says it, and we trust in the love he has for us. See, I can't really feel his love. There's been a few times in my life when I just really felt the love of God. There was moments in time when I actually felt God's love.
Yeah, I've been in those situations as well. You know, there's definite experiences that we have in our Christian walk that give us a physical understanding and tangibility to the love of God. But it doesn't happen on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
That doesn't happen to us on a day-to-day basis.
And so when we're in that situation, we trust in the love he has for us. Man, I tell you what, when all hell breaks loose and everything looks like it's nothing's going to work, somehow you got to trust
in
God.
We better have that trust, yes.
Yeah, you got to trust in his love that he's going to take care of this situation. This pandemic that's going on, we've got to trust in his love. We've got to believe that he takes care of us, that he is our not just our healer, but he's our protector. He's the one that moves us in the right places and keeps us all right. We've got to have trust in that and believe that.
You know, this situation, as you mentioned with this pen, it's trying. It is a trying and testing of us. But James said, don't be discouraged when that comes along, because that trying of your faith will bring you patience.
Yeah.
And so the next time something comes along, we will have increased in our faith and we'll understand, well, God got me through the last one. I'm going to be okay with this one.
Right.
And I've told the story probably on this program about my father being deathly afraid of storms. And my most vivid memories as a child is when we'd be having a severe thunderstorm and my father would walk the floor and pray and sing and just scared to death of those storms. And I mean, he had us get out and hand dig a storm cellar. And then every time it came along, he'd drag us all into the cellar. And some of the most vividly uncomfortable memories in my life involved that. Well, then we fast forward until I'm about 15 years old, and he's working at a power plant, and it gets hit one night by a tornado while he's on dirty duty. Four tornadoes come across the lake and merged and hit that building, and the concrete fell from the ceiling, and it crushed everything inside the building. And he's standing looking through a safety glass window from the office, and he come home and said, you know, Lord took care of me that time. I guess he will the next time. And from then on, he slept through every storm that came along. And I thought, why didn't you learn that 15 years ago? My life would have been a whole lot nicer. But the trying of our faith brings that understanding. And so whatever's going on in our world now, trust God is going to get us through it with the strength and peace that he gives. And the next time something comes along, we're going to be a little less bothered about it.
I want to read the scripture that you quoted.
What I butchered out there, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to read it all because it's very good. It's James chapter 5, verse 3, or chapter 1, verse 3. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Power to endure.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, there's something God does. It's he releases power.
His power in us becomes tangible. Mm-hmm. We start to understand that because we see it working in our life.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, and then as your endurance grows even stronger, that's what was happening with your dad.
Right, it was.
It will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. I mean, you just go through these things and you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And
so when the enemy comes against us as believers using the forces of the world, whether it's a pandemic mm-hmm. or whatever it is, threats of riots or anything, all he's doing is making us stronger. Because God will show up in our lives and help us to feel the tangibility of his power over us.
That's right.
Yeah.
So God is love, and those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fiercely face the day of judgment because we know that Jesus now is, so are we. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. You know, we were talking just a few minutes ago about one of the things that probably people have very much on their mind these days, and that is the coming of the Lord. And here it just says exactly that you will, this love, by living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fiercely face the day of judgment. The day of judgment, what is that?
That's the day of the Lord.
That could be a lot of different things.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That could be when you stand before the great white throne of judgment, which I don't think we're going to. And then, or it could be, you know, some people don't believe we're going. There's going to be a rapture of the church.
Right, yeah.
And the day of judgment is the book of Revelation. And so whatever it means, whatever that is in the day of judgment, you're fearless. Isn't that what it says?
It says that no matter what that comes, you will be without fear.
Because all that Jesus now is, so are we. In this world, love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. So here we have this idea of whatever that judgment is, we're not afraid because love, God's love in us has driven that fear out. Because perfect love casts out fear. So whatever it is, whatever we are going through, we can do it fearlessly.
And last week you were discussing when Jesus summed up all the commandments. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Well, right there you just indicated that when you love God, then you're going to have no fear. And that takes care of another set of problems that we would generate if we didn't have the love of God in our heart.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this goes along a little bit with what the pastor preached this morning. Did you pay any attention to that?
I was too broke to pay attention this morning.
Yeah.
Ba-da-boom.
Well, he was talking
yes,
about
was. Yeah.
Fear.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
And he said, there's no use fearing something you can't do anything about.
Right.
I mean, you just got to relax and trust God. And believe
it's kind of like being afraid of a storm, you know. You
yeah.
can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You can use common sense to step yeah. out of the way of it, but yeah. you can't do anything about it.
So. Yeah. So, and then this goes on and says, our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. So you can... You can stand around with your hands up in the air praising God for his love and feel like you're really doing something. But really it says our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. So, man, there's a lot in all that, Jim. And I want to move on and look at a couple other scriptures, and then I'm going to get down to where I really want to go tonight. And I've got to watch my time because we're almost half through here. But I want to look at 1 John 3:23. And it says, I wish I had better eyesight sometimes. It says, so these are his commands, that we continually place our trust in the name of his son. These are his commands. And we talked about this last week. Jesus Christ, and that we keep loving one another just as he commanded us. So the basic commands of the New Testament are that we believe in Jesus and that we love each other. And all the other law of the Old Testament is fulfilled in those commands. And then 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 and 11, or 9 to 11, it says, anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding hatred in his heart toward a fellow believer, is still in the darkness. But the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there is nothing in him that will cause anyone else to stumble. So now we're talking about causing our brother to stumble. And it says that anyone who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there is nothing in him that will cause someone else to stumble. But whoever hates a fellow believer lives in the darkness, stumbling around in the dark with no clue where he's going, for he is blinded by the darkness. So all of a sudden you get this picture of relationship where I'm concerned that I'm not doing something that would cause you to stumble. And the way that I live that life is by love. But if I hate you, I'm going to cause darkness to come, not only in our relationship, but I'm going to cause darkness in your life and cause you to stumble.
And the scripture, Jesus was real clear about the consequences of causing your brother to stumble. He said it'd be better you had a rock tied around your neck and thrown off a cliff or into the ocean or whatever he said. Because that is what we as believers are closely commanded to do, is to love one another so as we do not cause another brother to stumble.
So Peter, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered, and he said, of course, Lord, I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. Or I think first he said, feed my lambs. And then the Lord asked him again, said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, of course, Lord, you know I love you. Kind of starting to get a little aggravated with this line of questioning. And the Lord goes, well, feed my sheep. And actually, in the original language, these three words for sheep are, the first one refers to male lambs. The second one is just sheep. And then the third time he asked him the same question, and he said, feed my lambs, and it was referring to female lambs. Now, I don't know the significance of all that, but he was asking him a little different question every time, and Peter was getting aggravated with him. But when you stop and think about it, you know, sheep need a place to eat. And I've heard a story the other day about how this guy went to another country and he observed these shepherds and how they did. Every morning they would come through the village and they would pick up everybody's sheep and goats, and then they would take them up the mountain for them to graze that day. And then at night they would bring them back down, and those sheep and goats knew exactly which pen they were supposed to go to, you know. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But the shepherd has to ensure that those sheep have a place to eat. And, Jim, I have cattle, and I'll just tell you, if I have one missing, I go and find it. It's not that I love my cattle, but I am responsible for those cattle. And Jesus takes this a little further when he starts talking about it's not a responsibility anymore. You do these things because you love. And I think that's what he was trying to get across to Peter, was that this is a thing of the heart, that you love out of your heart. It's not something that you do as an outward show. It's not something that you do because you're obligated or responsible or because you know that it's going to bring monetary gain. It's something you do out of your heart because that's who you are. Because God is love and we're like him on the inside. And so instead, we've got to get these other things out of our system. When we start dealing with other people, we've got to get these ideas. Well, maybe I can make a little money off of him, or we can, you know, I'm related to him, so I'm kind of responsible, or I've got some kind of obligation that causes me to have to do these things for these people. But instead, it starts coming out of the inside of God is love, and I am love. I love these people. I love them. I want the best for them. And I think that's, I really feel like that's where God was taking Peter, or Jesus was taking Peter, in that feed my sheep thing, feed my lambs, take care of them, make sure that they're taken care of. And then I've got a scripture in 1 John 3:10, and then I'm going to kind of jump off here a little bit. And it says, here is how God's children can be clearly distinguished from the children of the evil one. Anyone who does not demonstrate righteousness and show love to fellow believers is not living with God as his source. So if I'm living in an unrighteous manner and I don't love other people, now, personally, I think those two kind of go hand in hand because, you know, if I'm doing unrighteous things, it usually is going to involve somebody else, right?
Yeah, it kind of goes that way.
Yeah, it kind of works that way. So if I'm doing something that's unrighteousness that would cause them to stumble or exploit them or manipulate them or whatever, if I'm doing that, I don't really love them. I'm back to that. What can I get out of them? Is it money? Am I obligated? Am I responsible? I'm doing this out of my flesh and forget the love. So I think what he's saying is you're going to be righteous if you love, because you're going to reflect God on the inside.
Well, as the pastor went to great pains to explain a couple of weeks ago, God does not have love. God is love. So if we have God and his spirit inside us, then we have love within us. We don't have to manufacture that. It's a part of the relationship that we have with God.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, now let me address the issue of food offered in sacrifice to idols. You say, well, what does that have to do with love? Well, hang on. It seems that everyone believes his own opinion is right in this matter. So they're having a little controversy over food that was sacrificed to idols, which in the Old Testament they were forbidden to eat. So it comes into the New Testament here, and they start talking about it. And instead of answering that question, which he did later on, by the way, but the first thing he did, he went to the matter of the heart. He said, how easily we get puffed up over our opinion. But love builds up the structure of our new life. Now, that's what I want us to get right here. Love builds up the structure of our new life. So it's talking about a new life in Christ. And love builds up that structure. If anyone thinks of himself as a know-it-all, he still has a lot to learn. But if a person passionately loves God, he will possess the knowledge of God. So I want to kind of go down this line here for a minute of love builds up the structure of our new life. And I got to thinking about if I'm building, there's a structure in that building. There's the way it's put together, the way
it's referred to as the building core.
Yes.
If you're in the construction business, you understand that. And that's right. Called the building core for a reason, because everything else in the building is attached to that for its strength and support.
Yeah. So with that explanation, let me take this in over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And a few weeks ago, we had this discussion about the body, and we did communion, and then we talked about the body of Christ and how that we're all a part of that, and we've got to recognize that and how the things that we can depend on being in our life because of that. Healing is one of them. So I want to take this idea that we just looked at of love being the structure of our new life. And I want to, with that in mind, I want to read a few scriptures here, and then I'm going to make some comments, and I'm sure you'll have some too. It says, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. Now, Jim, we like these scriptures, okay? I mean, they give us a position, they give us a place. But what we sometimes miss is the continuity of this. We see this as, oh, I've got a place in the body. I'm part of the body. And we'll see some of these things mentioned as we read on here. But really what we need to be seeing is the structure of this whole thing. How that we are all together and we've all drank of the same Spirit. We've all been part of Christ. We've got to see this from that standpoint that we're all drinking out of the same trough. That this isn't something just for me, but it's for everybody. And I've got to see that through the eyes of love that I need to get everybody drinking out of that trough with me, and it is the same water of the Spirit. It is the same Jesus. And so love
since God is love and since we're like him, we are love, then that becomes the very glue that holds this whole thing together. It says, in fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if there's no glue, what's going to hold that together? So if the foot were to say, since I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still a vital part of the body. And if the ear were to say, since I'm not an eye, I'm not really a part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still an important part of the body. So I can, you know, I've been kind of in places where they emphasize that you need to understand who you are. You need to understand that you're part of the body. You have a vital part. And that's been a big deal because a lot of people didn't understand that. They didn't understand that they were a son and daughter of God. And they didn't understand that they were begotten of him. They didn't understand those things. They didn't understand that they had a part to play. It was the preacher's part to take care of all the spiritual things that went on in there. We just took care of the natural, and we brought our money, and we gave our money, and then we were just kind of expected to sit down and shut up. You ever been in a place like that?
Yeah, I was been a lot of things like that in the past. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too. So here we've had this image, but what he's trying to get across is that not only am I in this body, but you're in this body. And all this other 400 or 500 people that we talked about earlier are in this body. And there's got to be something that holds us all together. And it's love. And so here in this body, it's love that's holding us together. But when Jesus talks about this, he's not just talking about the local body. He's talking about his body.
The body universal, yes.
And so it starts with a local body. It starts with marriage. It starts with the simple things, the one and two, and then multiplies, but then it gets much bigger than that, and we've all got to see that there's something that's holding us together. And if you look at his command, love one another, look at all the scriptures we've read, and it all goes back to loving each other.
If in the same way, like we discussed earlier, that it is that love of God that bonds us together. As I mentioned, and we've discussed, 400 or 500 people go to this church. We may not know them by name, but when we're here with them in the body and we're one worshiping God together, we have that commonality. And that's true whether we walk into a church in Amarillo or we go to Argentina or anywhere, because as long as God is there and the Spirit is there and those people are loving God and loving one another, me and you could walk in there and feel the same way.
Yeah.
Because the love of God is shed abroad the same direction, same way.
But let's take it a little further even than that. We don't have to be there.
And we're still connected to it.
We're still connected.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And so, see, we've got to expand our thinking in all this. You know, I hear people say, my little church, this little church, my little church. And I think, man, they're not seeing the big picture. They got to see that what God's doing all over the world is we're all connected. Those people in the Chinese church, yeah, we're not going to go over there and get them. They're doing it themselves, but we're bound to them through love.
That same spirit. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? If the whole church was a pastor, how would that operate? Or if the whole church was just somebody that came once every 6 months, how would that operate? I mean, you could start doing little scenarios. It all fits together. He's got it all planned out. If the whole body were just near, how could it smell different fragrances? But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. A diversity is required, for if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see it, there are many different parts and functions, but one body. So you say, well, how did you get love out of that? Well, it's all in it. It's a structure. Love is the...
It's the glue that holds it all together.
It's the very core structure.
It is the cohesion that makes us all work together.
Yeah.
As you're keenly aware, my gift in the body is not standing up on that stage. Hmm. Mine is sitting back here making that guy up on stage sound good.
That's right.
But it's our common love that we have for God and love for each other that makes us fit into that position.
Yeah. You know, if you could say this, I love God, and you could go home and watch TV, you could watch great preachers on TV, and I love God, but that's not all he said to do. He said you couldn't really love him without loving each other because you wouldn't understand what loving God was really all about.
There would be no way to put it into action.
That's right. That's right. So then, let's proceed here a little bit. I think this is all about love here. And then it kind of really ties it together because in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, right after he's talked about the body and he talked about the gifts of the Spirit, he talked about the ministry gifts and all this. And then he comes to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians.
And says, we all know what that one's about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about love. Yeah. And if I were to speak with eloquence and earth's many languages and then the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that can move mountains, but I have never learned to love, then I am nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. See, that's just exactly what we were saying about what Jesus was saying to Peter. There was, he was going after Peter's heart. He wasn't just saying, you know, Peter, this is going to be the drudgery of your life. You're going to have to feed my sheep every day. Wouldn't that get old?
Yeah,
it would.
And wouldn't it get old if you were a pastor and it was just drudgery? You had to come down here and preach to a bunch of knotheads just sitting on pews that never responded, never did anything. And they'd shake your hand and go home and say, did a good job today, Pastor. See you next week. I mean, that would be drudgery, wouldn't it? I mean, that'd be like feeding the cows. I get so tired of feeding cows every day.
God bless you for that. Yeah. I heard a minister on the radio saying that, you know, if you're wondering if you're called to serve full time in the ministry, he says, find out if there's something else you'd be happy doing. If you could be happy being a banker and working every day, then you need to go do that. He said, if you'd be happy owning a business and doing whatever and be able to be content doing that, that's what you need to be doing. Because if God's called you to do the full time work, there's nothing in the world that you'll be satisfied doing but that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind that have the love of God implanted in them in order to serve in that capacity.
Yeah. And see, it's not just the love of God. It's a love
for one another.
For one another.
Because if you have the love of God,
yeah,
you have the love one for another.
Okay. And let me go on, because love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind. Loving one another, that's what he's describing here, is loving one another. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Love never stops loving. See, those, there we went from there in Corinthians, from Paul talking about how much he loved people and how that we need to love God. And then he talked about the structure of love. And then we go start talking about the church, the body of Christ. And then we jump right over the gifts of the Spirit and all that. And then we get down to the love chapter, and it tells you what love is and what it's not.
And you know, those chapters were not written by Paul. He didn't divide that up. We did that for convenience. And so every one of those thought sequences go immediately beyond one right next to the other.
And you know, the ultimate composer composed that.
That would be the Holy Spirit.
It would be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Prompting Paul on how to put these words in proper sequence, in proper order. And it just flows through there, that whole thing. It's talking about love, and it's not talking about something that's impossible. It's talking about the possible, because that's who you are. If you're listening out there and you have Jesus in your heart, you are love. And if you're not loving, it's not because you're not love. It's because you've chosen a different way. And see, we can trust in his love. That's what we read that scripture tonight. We can trust in his love. So we can begin to trust that I am love. I love. I love other people. And you know what? When I make that decision that that's what I'm going to do and what I'm going to be, it'll happen.
That's right. It certainly will.
Yep.
Because that conscious decision that we make to be that is what makes it happen.
Yeah. It hooks us up with God and puts us in the move of his Spirit, and power is released. Everything he says in his word, there's the power with that word to cause it to come to pass in your life. Jim, we're about through.
Well, as you started in the explanation, you're going to finish this out. No, you're not going to wrap it up, because there's several other directions you could go next time. But we've come to a stopping point for tonight, is what you're saying. So,
yeah, we've exhausted our resources for tonight, I guess.
You ran out of scribble notes on the bottom of your page. So.
Actually, I didn't.
I didn't think you did, because I could see where you were at. So we will probably pick this up again later, right?
Maybe sometime.
Probably will.
Yeah. It's a good subject.
It's a great subject. Love of God is always a good subject.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, another week down, another one to go. Well, I'm looking forward to what
it's going
to
be a good one.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a good rain this week.
No, I'll just have to mow the weeds, so I don't get excited.
Well, you know,
but if it makes your crops grow, I'll
just
you can
keep
have it
over there. Keep that dry weather over at Mobile.
Okay, we'll take it.
Hey, good night, all. God bless.
Good night, everybody.